a dispute over who gets awarded the contract for the Skagway Small Boat Harbor Project, and a cruise ship rescues passengers off a Glacier Bay boat. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A construction company has filed suit against the municipality of Skagway over a bidding process for the Small Boat Harbor Improvement Project. Western Marine Construction in Washington State filed a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction in Juneau Superior Court last week, asking that Skagway not be able to proceed awarding a contract to local company Hamilton Construction. The municipality in early August opened the bids for the harbor improvement project. Western Marine had the lowest bid at about $9.5 million. Hamilton Construction, the only local company among the bidders, was the third lowest bidder at just over $9.7 million. Skagway officials met in a special meeting on August 7th to discuss the bids. Skagway code allows for a 5% local bidder preference to Skagway companies, meaning if a local company offers a bid within 5% of the lowest bid, they can be awarded the contract. The assembly discussed that there was some confusion about if the preference would apply in this case, since $650,000 of the project funding was coming from the Denali Commission. It's an independent federal agency designed to help with Alaska infrastructure projects. Any project that uses federal funds is not allowed to use local preference in awarding bids. But the lowest bids came in under the $10.5 million the municipality estimated it needed for the project. Assemblyman Dan Henry said that meant the federal monies from the Denali Commission would not be needed. And if only state and local money was used, then Skagway was free to use the local preference.
The first $10 million, which is, for lack of a better description, mandated to be the first use money because of the way it works as a match, that puts us at $10 million or $329,000 over the cost of the project, which is $9,671,000. Thereby, the Denali Commission grant money is returned, and it is not applicable to anything involving this project from a federal standpoint. This is all state and local money. In that case, we would then just revert to our own guidelines and rules and regulations of code, which do provide that we can allow for a 5% consideration for local bids.
Western Marine filed its complaint in Superior Court on August 14th. The company argues that the local bidder preference should not be applicable in this particular project. In court documents, Western Marine states that the bidder preference was not mentioned in the invitation to bid, that the preference violates state and federal procurement statutes, and that the bidder preference, quote, does not have a rational basis and therefore violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Western Marine also alleges that Skagway officials intentionally misled the company about the time frame for awarding the bid. Chris Hart, president of Western Marine, states in an affidavit that he contacted Skagway about what was going to happen at the August 7th special meeting. The agenda and public notice for the meeting states the only agenda item is regarding the next steps in the harbor improvement project. Hart states that a municipal employee told him the assembly would not be awarding the contract at the meeting. The court issued an order that Skagway could not go ahead with the project until after the 3 p.m. Monday court hearing. Western Marine was also required to post a $25,000 bond. The court on Monday could decide one of three things: to continue the restraining order against Skagway from proceeding with the project, order that the project may continue using Hamilton Construction, or decide more court hearings are needed to decide the matter. Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer traveled to Juneau to testify at the court hearing. 70 people were rescued by a cruise ship on Sunday morning from a sightseeing tour boat that hit a rock in Glacier Bay National Park. The 79-foot Baranoff Winds reported it was taking on water. The Coast Guard and National Park Service responded, but Petty Officer First Class David Mosley of the Coast Guard said the first on the scene to help was the Holland American cruise ship Volendam.
The cruise ship was already there on scene, and when they heard about the need for assistance, they immediately diverted. They were there before our helicopter could get there from Sitka.
The Baranoff Winds is owned and operated by Allen Marine Tours, according to John Dunlap, vice president of the company. He said the boat provides contracted day boat tour service for Glacier Bay. The boat's 70 passengers on Sunday were primarily guests of Glacier Bay Lodge in Bartlett Cove and visitors from Gustavus. Dunlap said the catamaran was on a regular 8-hour sightseeing tour. At about 10:30 a.m., the boat was traveling north along the eastern side of Russell Island en route to Marjorie Glacier when brown bears were spotted on the shore.
The captain was maneuvering closer to the shore the brown bears were on to provide a better view, realized he was getting in pretty shallow and started backing up, but wasn't backing up along the exact same path that he had just come in on, and the port propeller came in contact with what is almost certainly a rock. And as you can imagine, that brought the boat to a pretty abrupt stop.
Dunlap said the boat's crew found water coming into the port engine room. They anchored in shallow water and discovered the water was coming through a shaft seal in the engine compartment. Dunlap said the sudden stop caused several passengers to lose their footing. The most serious injury was a twisted knee. He said that person and their traveling companion were transported by the National Park Service to Bartlett Cove and then flown to Juneau on a non-emergency flight. The rest of the passengers were transferred to the cruise ship using a passenger tender and continued touring the area.
And they spent the rest of their day in Glacier Bay aboard a cruise ship.
A 4-person crew remained on the Baranof Winds to maintain pumps and keep the boat afloat. The Coast Guard Station Sitka flew a dewatering pump to the Baranof Winds and diverted a cutter to the scene. Coast Guard personnel from Juneau also responded to assess the potential for pollution or fuel leaks, although none were found. Dunlap said another Allen Marine boat arrived at the scene about 7 p.m. and a diver examined the damage. The Baranof Winds was towed to the company's dry dock in Sitka and expected to arrive Monday evening, Dunlap said. It's not expected to return to service before the sightseeing season ends in September. The group sparring over a ballot measure to restore the Alaska Coastal Management Program traded barbs on Friday, accusing each other of campaign disclosure violations. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
The Alaska Sea Party filed a complaint with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, arguing Vote No on 2's television and online video ads violate state campaign disclosure rules. The law requires groups to cite on-screen, in writing, and through an audible disclaimer, their top three financial backers. At the time the ads were produced, No on 2's top three contributors were the Alaska Miners Association, Shell Oil Company, and the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Since then, ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips have displaced Shell and Aoga on the group's website, but not in the ads. The Sea Party is sponsoring Ballot Measure 2. Lisa Weisler is the group's policy director.
The ads should stop. It's a very clear violation of the law. And so it should stop, or they should do it right. And they should have penalties assessed.
No on 2 spokesman Willis Lyford argues the group did nothing wrong, but he says the ads have now been updated to include Exxon and Conoco in the top three, as well as a verbal disclaimer.
On the advice of our lawyer, we've already changed the ads up. The new advertising will have the audio portion that they're suggesting is needed. And our view on that is, well, it'd be better to have belt and suspenders. You know, we want to make that change, and then we'll let the process play out and see what actually is the case.
Lyford calls the Sea Party hypocrites. He notes the group's website features YouTube videos with no audio disclaimer about its top contributors. He says the rule should apply to all campaign videos.
It doesn't matter whether it's paid advertising or not. It is advertising, and if in fact their submission is correct, then they're guilty of the same violation.
The Sea Party touts itself as a grassroots organization. Its top three contributors are the North Slope Borough, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, and the Alaska Conference of Mayors. Weisler says the group is pulling the YouTube videos from its website until they can be updated to include a disclaimer, but she says there's a difference between videos posted online at no cost and expensive television commercials.
This is the reason for the lodge, that there's money that comes in from outside, unlimited donations can come in from outside, and people need to know whose voices are being represented in these sorts of ads.
State Senator Hollis French, an Anchorage Democrat, sponsored the 2010 state law that required groups to disclose their top contributors. He says the audio disclosure should apply to all campaign videos, but it's especially important for television ads.
It's crucial that people who are perceiving these commercials, whether you're watching a TV ad or even listening to it in the background, it's crucial that those people know who has donated to the entity behind that ad.
Alaska Public Offices Commission Executive Director Paul Dauphiné says the commission will take up the Sea Party's latest complaint on Monday. The two sides also have filed complaints challenging the other's name, citing a state law requiring a group's moniker reflect an issue or goal and not simply express opposition or support of a particular measure. Dauphiné says those complaints won't be heard until next month. Measure 2 on the August 28th primary ballot would reestablish the Alaska Coastal Management Program. The Federal Coastal Zone Management Act allows states that adopt an approved coastal management program to have greater input into development decisions along their coastlines. It also streamlines the regulatory process of various local, state, and federal agencies. Alaska had a program for more than 30 years, but in 2011, the legislature and Parnell administration failed to reach a deal to reauthorize it. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.